Is there another method to repair a child's defective heart valve other than invasive surgery? Two Montreal cardiologists went to London, England to learn a new technique that accomplishes just that. The procedure, called percutaneous pulmonary valve implant, replaces open heart surgery and was performed in February this year by Montreal cardiologists Giuseppe Martucci and Adrian D'Ancia at the Montreal Children's Hospital. The hospital becomes the fifth center in the world certified to perform the procedure, invented by Philippe Bonhoeffer, Chief of Cardiology and Director of the Catheterization Laboratory at Great Ormond Street Hospital in London. And I'm pleased to introduce Dr. Giuseppe, or Joe, Martucci, Interventional and Congenital Cardiologist with McGill University Health Center, based at the Royal Victoria Hospital in Montreal, and Assistant Professor at McGill University Department of Medicine. Good afternoon.
Thank you.
First of all, I'd like to congratulate you on your success. You must have very happy patients and parents.
Yeah, thank you very much, and you're absolutely right. Patients are completely ecstatic about this new procedure. As you may or may not be aware, many of them have actually undergone numerous operations, and they're happy to see that technology has come to the point that we can now offer something that is much less invasive.
Now, with regards to heart valve conditions that are found in children, how common are valve abnormalities in children?
Well, in congenital heart disease, so we're talking about pediatric cardiology, it's actually quite common for them to have abnormalities on the right side of the heart. In other words, the pulmonary valve, which communicates the right ventricle to the lungs, in fact. And so this is not an uncommon situation.
Now, are there specific subtypes of abnormal valve problems? And what happens if the valve is not repaired? What are the outcomes if things are just left as they are?
Okay, if they're left as they are, what tends to happen is the right side of the heart tends to become dilated and ultimately goes into heart failure. And so these are young patients who ultimately would die from heart failure. And so it necessitates an intervention on the valve. And up until recently, that intervention was done surgically through an open heart procedure. And we now have the capacity to do this same procedure, but through a small 5-6 millimeter incision in the groin.
Now, what I'd like to do is I'd like to sort of compare these two procedures and look at the standard of care, which was the open heart surgery prior to the percutaneous procedure, and what the child would face in that open heart procedure. That is the technique that was used and also the complications and the concerns that you would have during and after the surgery.
Sure. I mean, the main thing is that, you know, you're in your traditional open heart surgery, patient comes into the hospital, has his or her procedure, the chest is opened, and so there's obviously a risk of infection and healing process, and the patient would usually have to stay in the intensive care unit for at least 5 days and on the ward for another week or so, and only get back to full recovery within about 2 to 3 months. With this new procedure, the patients come in the day of the procedure, the procedure's done, and they literally leave the next morning. And they're up and about that evening, in fact. And in fact, our first case was done on Thursday. Patient left the hospital on Friday, and Sunday he was actually downhill skiing. That was not, we did not recommend that to him, of course, but, kids will be kids. And sure enough, he did very well.
Now, can you describe the picture of how this is physically done? Like, how do you approach the valve? Is there anything that has to be done with regards to the heart beating? How does that whole process influence the way you repair this valve?
Sure. So the patient is actually put asleep during the procedure, but the heart is beating and moving as it normally is in every day. And what we do is we access the heart through a vein that is located in the groin. And so from the groin, we then advance our valve, which is placed over a balloon, if you will, or a delivery system. And through the vein, and it gets a little bit technical, mm-hmm. but we have to maneuver through the veins and through the right side of the heart, ultimately to position the valve in the appropriate position. And then with a balloon, we then inflate that valve and distend it such that it sits right where it's supposed to be.
So there's no sutures that are used? It just sits
Correct.
Right in there?
Correct. So it just sits there, and with the expansion of the valve itself, the tension right. that's generated by that expansion allows it to sit in the appropriate place.
Have there been long-term studies looking at the position of that valve, that it just stays stationary, or does it have to be replaced as the child gets older?
So that's actually an excellent question. This is a very new technology, as you are aware, and the first case was done in Europe by Dr. Bonhoeffer in 2002. And so our data is not that long, and so we only have about 5 years of data. And of course, the initial cases were only, there were only one or two cases that were done mm-hmm. Because of concerns. And so we do not have long-term data as of yet. However, The actual valve that's used, believe it or not, actually comes from a segment of the jugular vein of a cow. Okay, so cows are grazing animals, mm-hmm. and therefore their heads are often lower than their hearts, and they are born with the valves in their veins, which is unlike humans, for mm-hmm. example. And so what Dr. Bonhoeffer did was he took that segment of a vein from a cow and put it onto a stent, and he basically just sewed it onto a stent, and that stent is then placed onto a balloon, and that balloon is delivered again through the groin mm-hmm. And into the pulmonary position. Now, the surgeons have a similar... Now, in surgery, what is also done is a jugular vein of a cow is taken, except it's a longer segment, and mm-hmm. placed in exactly the same position. And so this technology is really an extension of what is already done surgically, except it's minimally invasive, in fact.
Now, as the child ages, just as... and actually, what I'd like to do is I'd like to cover the patient that was profiled in the Montreal Gazette. This was Martin Friolet-Perrault.
That's right.
And his medical history and what he... Because he has actually had both types of procedures done to sort of cover the... And I think it gives a good illustration of the natural history of the... of the condition, and as children get older, that the valve would have to be replaced. So I'd like to know if you can just cover that a bit, so to give parents an idea of what this child had to go through.
So Martin had, if memory serves me correct, at least three operations, and every operation getting more and more complicated. As you can imagine, when a surgeon opens up a chest, if it's the first operation, everything is nice and clean. As you have more and more operations, you develop scars, and things get to become more and more complicated. And in his last surgery, he was in the hospital for a month after the surgery. Mm. And to contrast with what currently happened, where he actually went skiing, he's the one who went skiing on Sunday. He's a semi-competitive skier, and that's his life, his raison d'être. And he felt so good that he went skiing. We did not advise him to go skiing. I don't want to, you know, mislead right. the public. But he took it on to himself and actually went skiing and did fine. But that's really the contrast. The contrast is the post-operative course. And the post-operative course in open heart surgery is long, and it's fraught with potential complications with regards to infection and other morbidity and length of stay in the hospital. And this current procedure, which we hope will be at least equivalent in long term, but we don't have that data mm-hmm. yet, is really a day procedure. And that's what's so extraordinary about this.
Now, as the child gets older, the heart gets a bit larger and the valves may wear. This is the type of procedure, at least from my understanding, that you can repeat and change the valve without having to open the chest each time.
Absolutely. So there have been about 120 cases done in the world, and of those 120, there have been about three or four where, for whatever reason, they had to go back and put another valve within the current valve. So in other words, it is conceivable, and this is what we actually tell patients, is that if we assume that the valve will last 10 or 15 years, we can then, in theory, go back through the same valve and implant another valve. And so the hope is that when time comes for this to be replaced, and, mm-hmm. and of course the hope is that it never has to,
right.
but if it does, we do still have another option from a minimally invasive point of view.
And with this valve, are there any anticoagulant medications that are required, any medications the child has to take to prevent any clots?
Yeah, so what we do, and this has not been looked at in any great detail, but it makes sense for them to be on some type of anticoagulation. And in fact, we put them on a baby aspirin once a day, and we do that for about 6 months. But there's no actual, to be honest with you, data to support that. It's done intuitively because it makes sense, and it's an extrapolation from our surgical literature. So the patients would take aspirin once a day for at least 6 months.
Now, do you envision that this technique, or at least this particular technology, can be adapted for other uses with repairing heart defects?
Well, I mean, this technique is really specific for the pulmonary valve. Mm-hmm. There are other techniques that are currently in evolution that are looking at the aortic valve and replacement of the aortic valve
right.
and repair of the mitral valve, but this technique specifically is really designed for the pulmonary valve itself, and therefore it is really only for that particular indication.
Now, for some of our listeners who might be interested in accessing more information about this procedure, is there a website or an area that they can go to learn more about this?
Actually, if you know, the internet is such a fantastic source of information. If you were to type in Dr. Bonhoeffer, mm-hmm. and the actual name of the valve is called the Melody valve, M-E-L-O-D-Y, mm-hmm. I'm sure you'll get a large number of hits. And some of those hits will actually tell you about the technique, the results from other studies, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot of, as far as I know, there's no single website that looks at it, but if you were to do a Google search, for sure there are tons of information on it.
Well, Dr. Martucci, I'd like to, again, congratulate you on this. This is Fantastic stuff. I mean, this is, when you think about a child that previously had two open heart surgery operations and now 5 days later is back on the ski hill after a procedure, that's just terrific for everybody.
Yeah, it's actually, and you know, it's a credit to Dr. Bonhoeffer in Europe for having the vision to do this. And it's, you know, it's the future. It's really a cutting edge technology, and the people who are going to benefit from it are the patients, of course.
Well, Dr. Martucci, thank you very much again.
And thank you for your time.
All the best.
Okay, bye.